Welcome to Scream Queens Horror Movie Road Trip Podcast.
I'm so done with this quarantine.
Oh, girl. How is everybody out there? Hope everybody is staying happy and healthy.
Yes. Welcome to our Scream Queens Horror Movie Road Trip Podcast. That's your sole survivor, Mr. Josh.
That's me. Sorry, this COVID business has me forgetting our intro.
Yeah.
And that's
paying attention to things he doesn't need to be paying attention to. And here's me.
Final girl, Miss Justine.
All right. So, guys, here we are. We're in the midst of the stay-at-home. We're in the midst of COVID-19.
We are in the middle of a pandemic.
And we're also in the midst of country roads out here in Oklahoma.
We are on lockdown orders, stay-at-home orders, whatever it's called, just like everybody else out there.
Mm-hmm. Sneaking out.
It's a weird time to be alive, guys. But as you know, our podcast is all about traveling and correlating it with a horror movie. Well, right now there's nowhere to travel to. Everything is closed. You can only get out for essentials. You're allowed to go out to, like, for a walk. Outside exercise is allowed, you know. So, today's episode, we are going to the grocery store.
We're doing an essential thing. Next week, Josh and I were going to make some baked goods, and so we need to go get all of the stuff for that, and so we're going to cover the crazies, because we're living in crazy times, and something crazy happens to all those people in this movie. So yeah,
that's what we're doing. As you know, The Crazies, if you've seen it, is a virus movie. And right now, that is what's happening in the world, is a virus is unleashed on us. Luckily, it's not like The Crazies, where it slowly drives you mad until you go on a murderous rampage. But, nonetheless, it's killing people, and it's serious. And so we're going to the grocery store for essentials. It's one of the only things we are allowed to get out to do.
Yes.
So that's what we're doing. And we're even taking one step further. We have our face masks. They're not on right now because we're talking. But we will put them on, and we're doing the pickup. You know, where
it's
the fancy
pickup
thing. You order on your app, you show up, you press, like, I'm here, and it's pretty much contactless. You open your hatch or your trunk, they place it in there, and you say, like, peace, see ya.
Thanks. See you on the other side.
Thank you, essential worker, for risking your life to bring me my Diet Coke.
My precious essentials that I need to stay at home and to help,
So,
curve.
This episode's not as fancy.
No.
We're not going to Colorado. We're not going to L.A. or to the East Coast. We're staying right here in Oklahoma and going to the grocery store and covering The Crazies, 2010's remake, to be precise, directed by Breck Eisner.
That's right.
Who was this, like, wonder kid director that just got picked up off the streets out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's from, like, Idaho. No,
guys. Just kidding. His dad's fucking Michael Eisner, who's CEO of Disney. So, it's wonder how he got in
the
Hollywood.
I wonder how he got his start.
Aww. Nepotism. But that's okay. This movie's fun, so whatever.
Yeah,
previously directed 2005 Sahara with Matthew McConaughey.
We hate, but we don't hate. I mean, it's fine.
It's just kind of funny. If you look at, like, most people, I would say, like, 60 to 70% of people in Hollywood, whether it be a director, an actor, whatever, if you just do, like, one extra step of research, you find out they're related to somebody.
Yeah. That's just how it is, you know?
Who you know.
Who you know.
Not what you can do.
Sometimes it's who you know and what you can
do. Yeah, sometimes it works out.
You know, okay. So, yes, getting the essentials, doing our thing. Here we go. We're just driving around on some little backcountry roads.
Yeah. We live, like, 5 minutes from the grocery store. Actually, probably, like, a 2-minute drive. So, we're having to, like, just meander through the country. It's kind of nice. We're getting out.
Out of the city.
We have been quarantining together. We're besties, so kind of like day one, I was like, I'm coming to your house.
My bedroom has been turned into a theater room where you just lay out on all these pillows and there's endless amounts of popcorn. And
been watching all kinds of movies and series.
Yes, we're getting a lot covered.
So
we're doing our part.
We're out of work until June.
We want to stay home so that we can do our part and eventually get out again and get to do podcasts out with everybody again. So we miss it, but here we go. Let's get into it.
Here we go. Let's do it to it.
Let's do it to it. So, the movie stars Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, we love us some Timothy Oliphant.
Daddy Timmy. Oh, my.
Daddy Timmy.
God. Ah, bite them knuckles. So hot.
Juicy. You're going to bite his knuckles or your own knuckles?
I might be biting both.
Moose knuckle?
That too.
I'll bite his moose knuckle.
Get all over that. Get all over that shit. Get it.
She's gonna get it. Gonna get it.
Gotta get it. Yeah, he's from Scream 2. He's Santa Clarita Diet.
Deadwood. Love some Deadwood.
Justified. I did a little bit of research, and he and Danielle Panabaker, who plays that Becca character, they both did Justified. So they, you know, like 10 years later, not even 10 years later, I think like 5 years later, they started a TV series together. So
how neat.
I know
that is neat.
I know it. And Josh, wasn't that last April that we did Silent Hill?
Yes, with Rhoda Jones.
No, Rashida. It's Rhoda Mitchell.
Rhoda Mitchell.
Oh my God.
Who am I talking about?
It would have been way better if I'd have just done that.
Rashida Jones is someone completely different.
Yeah, not at all who I So anyways, it's April and here we are, Rhoda Mitchell. We're going to start just covering your
every
movies.
April will bring a new Rhoda Mitchell movie.
And we still will be able to because she did Pitch Black. So maybe next April, if there's absolutely nothing to do, if the lights are out,
we'll do Pitch Black. You heard it here first.
Right here. And then Joe Anderson, he's from The Ruins, another horror movie that I'm sure we'll cover eventually.
Once the world is in ruins.
Once the world puts itself back together. Or maybe when the world is in ruins, we'll be... Oh my God, we are doing a good job. He's also, he has a little voice. He's on that Across the Universe with...
it's a little
what's
voice?
What's her name? Rachel. Rachel McAdams. Oh, goodness. Rachel Evan Wood. Yes. And then
13.
Danielle Panabaker mentioned her. She's from that remake of Friday the 13th, Piranha 3 Double D.
Oh, I love me some Piranha 3D, but I haven't seen that Double D yet.
Got that Double D.
That must be the sequel.
So it's a pretty fun, solid, like, horror cast, friendly.
Yeah, the first shots of the movie that you see is, like, a town in ruins on fire at night.
Yep, Pierce County, Ogden Marsh, Iowa.
And it quickly cuts to, like, 2 days earlier, and the town is idyllic. You see it burned down.
Yeah, we get this point of view shot before we see the town, and it's, like, military perspective, aerial coordinates are being...
Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Ariel the mermaid. She's hanging out in Ogden Marsh, just flapping her tail.
Eric got a good job.
There's like a little scroll on the screen, the little digitized thing that's like saying contamination and Ogden Marsh and everything.
Up.
So we know something's contaminated. This place fucked up.
And something's got to do with something.
Something always got to do with something here on Scream Queens Horror Movie Road Trip Podcast.
That's right.
Okay.
If there's something, it's got to do with something.
And connect
the dots.
Connect all the motherfucking dots, because it's opening day in Ogden Marsh at the ball field. And everybody in town, it's a town of like 1,200 people.
Everybody is there.
They're excited for the baseball, elementary kids out there, little league team.
They're so excited that it makes me excited.
Oh, I'm like... nips out. Excited.
Timothy Oliphant is like, hey, it's not officially spring until the first pitch is thrown or something.
Something about
baseball.
He's the sheriff and he goes to get himself a little cup of coffee from the concession stand, and the principal's like, go ahead. The sheriff always drinks for free. And he makes that joke about like, yeah, well, the principal will still, you know, be in trouble if he doesn't pay his parking tickets. And we get to meet the principal because he comes in to play in our movie. So we get to meet the principal a few times. And here he is. He's wanting to buy off the sheriff with a cup of Joe. Like, is that... I'm sorry. Have you seen Timothy Oliphant? I mean,
You can't buy him.
Have you seen Timothy? No. Sheriff David Dutton, yummy Dutton daddy.
Oh.
I don't think
Get a hold of yourself,
I don't think you've seen him, Principal Ben. No. If that's your real motherfucking
Principal
name.
Principal Ben's just not really looking at him well. Mm-mm. He's not seeing him. He might be looking, but he's not seeing
him. He's not seeing... That's such a good way of saying...
Or is he seeing him, but not looking? I can't... I don't know. No, I think looking would be a verb, right? And seeing would be...
I was loving what you first said. Now I feel like we're digressing.
Yeah, let's move on. Okay. Anyways, they love baseball.
We're watching the baseball game.
It's springtime. Everybody's out there having a good-ass time.
And by everybody, we mean... The crazy town drunk, apparently, is out on the ball field with a shotgun.
Yeah, and that...
That's what you bring to your ball game.
That kind of starts bringing the fun to a halt.
Everybody's standing up like, whoa, what's going on?
You know...
Luckily, the sheriff is there.
Everybody was excited for the baseball. Now everybody's getting excited because there's a man on the field with a gun.
Yeah, it's a different excitement.
A different excitement.
Heart rate change maybe... Yes. Heightened.
That's right. Your iPhone would be saying breathe.
Your Apple Watch would be saying breathe. Yeah, totally.
What did I say?
Your iPhone.
iPhone. No.
Oh
your
my
iPhone
gosh, guys! Also, your soul survivor just got himself an Apple Watch, and he's joined the cult.
Yeah.
Just like me, he's joined the cult. But okay, so that's what we're talking about. And anybody in this listening to this that has an Apple Watch, you know what we mean. Closing those rings, for some reason, it's like gratifying. It's exciting.
It's wonderful.
It's just like the people on the ball field.
They don't want to hear about it.
They don't want to hear about it. Okay, so the sheriff is there watching the ball game. So he walks onto the field. Timothy Oliphant is playing David Dutton. The sheriff walks on the field. He's like, hey there, Roy.
Why are you out here with a gun, dude?
Like, what the literal fuck?
You can't be out here. Everyone's out here to enjoy baseball. They don't want to see you commit murder.
When we said guns out, we meant they brought them muscles.
Yeah,
we didn't mean...
Sun's out, guns out. Like,
no.
Wear a cutoff or something.
Tanks. It's Tank Tuesday. It's not Firearm Friday, fucker.
Tank Top Tuesday, bitch.
So anyways, he's trying to handle Roy, but Roy...
He gets aggressive.
He doesn't want to hear
anything. He aims the shotgun at Timothy Oliphant.
I'm sorry, you point a gun in the sheriff's face.
The sheriff has to do what he's got to do. He shoots him back.
Shoot him. Which, okay, here you are. You're just a spectator in the stand. And you just see this shit go down. Shit just got real in Ogden Marsh, okay?
It's like, really real.
Everybody leaves.
Everyone's really worried about it.
Not really. They're worried for themselves. They start running off. And then we got the deputy, who's the Joey Anderson guy, Deputy Russell. He runs up. I like him because he's got them blue, dreamy blue eyes. He's all running up like, what in the world has happened, Roy?
And he's got a good old stash on him, too.
Oh, my God, he does. He's got himself some facial hair.
He could tickle you in some good spots.
You could kind of tug on it, you know? Like, when you're, he could, like, nestle you downstairs and then... When
downstairs.
You're tugging
front
on
back,
it. Front back.
The front back stairs.
Like, neck. Back crack, all that. Yeah. Okay. Slowly, we're going to keep on going, right? So shots were fired, and...
We also, did we forget to mention Rada Jones?
No, we will. I've got her coming up.
I don't know what actress...
Rada Mitchell.
Rada Mitchell.
Yeah, no, it's fine. She's coming up. So, sheriff is like, oh my goodness, town drunk has basically done this. He's, Roy, you've been drinking. Now I had to shoot you.
Sorry, Roy.
Okay, cut to, we're at the doctor's office, and we meet Rada Mitchell, who is Judy. She's Dr. Dutt.
She's a doctor. She has good relationships with her employees.
Her employees. Her little assistant, played by that Danielle Panabaker.
She knows when to give, knows when to take. She's very fair.
She's super nice. Becca comes in. She's like, hey, my grandma's in town. She's like, girl, your grandma ain't in town.
You just want to fuck your boyfriend.
Want to go see your boyfriend at the ball game. Go ahead, girl.
Everyone's
see you later.
So excited about this ball game.
Peace out. And then we got them, it's the Duttons at their little farm home, next scene, and they are, maybe he's caught some feels over the shooting, you know? Maybe he needs to confide in his wife. So we're having a scene of that.
A good heart-to-heart.
A little heart-to-heart. We also find
out
Dutton, Daddy Dutton places hand on Mommy Dutton when we find out she's... expectant. She's got a baby on the way.
So that hypes up the suspense because she is living for two now.
A mama bear. Yep. Got the mama bear feels.
You're worried for her and you're worried for baby.
Yep. And then we have the funeral home scene where...
he is confronted by...
That's right.
The family, the son.
Roy's mom and...
Wife.
Or wife and son, yep.
They confront him. They're like, well, they're tearful. And at first you're like, okay, they understand, right? He was... Shotgun was pulled on him. He had to do it. But they're like, oh, I hear you're telling everybody he was drunk. You know he hasn't been drunk for years.
Yeah,
she says this holding a mug of whiskey.
Yeah, almost like it's me now, motherfucker. I'm the one that's. But yeah, so he gets slapped. Yeah, he gets slapped in the face by her, but he takes it because obviously she's got some feels to everybody's feeling.
Take it like a man.
And he doesn't know what to make about it. Like, okay, he looked like he was drunk, ma'am.
Sorry.
He pulled a gun on me. I guess slap me if that's what you need. If that's cathartic for you, whatever. But he goes to his, he goes to the sheriff, what's that place? Station?
He goes to the sheriff. What's that name?
Station. And he gets the tox screening call back from the medical examiner and he's...
Dun, dun, dun!
He hadn't been drinking, guys.
He did not have even a drop. It was 0.0.
0.0.
So he's going to have to go apologize to Mrs. Roy.
Like, what the fuck, guys? What is it then? Because he looked crazy to me. He looked drunk to me.
He was out of it. He was impaired for sure.
Impaired. That's a good way of saying it.
He was impaired.
Fucked up.
Maybe it wasn't alcohol. Maybe it wasn't drugs. I think it's this virus that we haven't heard about yet.
We don't know anything yet. So, but we get to go to Dr. Dutton's office, and she is seeing a patient, and he himself is acting a little strange. He keeps repeating what he's saying, and his wife is like, yeah, he just, like, is acting a little off the last, you know, day or so. And so here we are. We're in here, and she's like, okay, well... Let me make some calls, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. That's like saying, I'll be right back.
Because Rhoda
Mitchell, don't you know these things?
She doesn't know...
The rules?
The rules.
She doesn't know the rules?
She's in a horror movie.
She doesn't know the rules.
Isn't good.
Okay, so that guy that she saw at the doctor's office is named Bill. Bill, we get to know Bill. We get to go home with Bill, and we get to see Bill's wife.
He's acting funky at home, too.
Yeah, she's like, she's in the kitchen. She sees the farm, the shed, and there is a piece of machinery that's on, and it's
late. She's like,
late.
What the fuck? It's late. That machine is expensive.
No one better be out there playing. She goes out there.
She has her robe on.
And it's like a hay bale thing, you know. It's like a big mower.
It's huge.
It's massive.
It's way bigger than she is, and it's on.
We obviously think she's going to get chopped up.
Yeah, that's your first thought. It's like, man, move out of the way.
Yeah.
You're sitting right in front of it, and you're in a horror movie. You don't do that. Stand to the side, because it's going to take a lot for him to maneuver it around to
it's
you.
It's like, do they not know the rules?
Don't they know?
God, they don't know the rules, I guess. Like...
Well,
Ignorant folk. She
runs back inside. She's like,
yeah, she turns the machine off, goes back inside, because she hears her son scream.
And she's like, baby, where are you? And her son grabs her and is like, come into the closet
with me. Yeah, they
go
in that little closet. And this is an old farmhouse. You know, the closets are, they lock from the outside, I guess, because
it needed to for the plot. Okay, yeah. That's why.
We find out that, and that they have a lock on the closet.
And she's like, baby,
it's just a coat hanging closet.
Baby, why are we back in the closet?
And
you came out 2 years ago, sweetie. We accepted you.
Yeah,
this is all like going on.
She's talking to her son, telling her son this in the closet. Like, honey,
like,
it's okay.
No, mom, dad's trying to kill us.
He's
so we're
got
hiding.
A knife, mom. He's gonna stab you in the back, or something. I don't know.
It's not good.
And mom. I am gay, but this isn't the moment that we need to address this. Let's revisit it later.
Shit is happening.
Actually, guys, they don't get to have a later.
They don't get to revisit because
she looks through the little keyhole.
Dad is. He's He's an arsonist now.
he's
crossed another line.
Gasoline all down. Well, first it's all over the door. Then it's the stairs. And this kid is on fire.
Really, Justine? A kid on fire joke?
Kid killing.
I love it. No, not kid killing, but... Okay,
well, no, we hadn't talked up the kid killers in a while in our podcast. Yeah, like, those are another evil right there.
That's another kind of evil.
Obviously, it's a blaze. We see the Duttons in bed, and they get a call, and a sheriff answers the phone, and he's like, "What?" Brings wife along. We get to the farmhouse where Bill and his just sitting singing a little lullaby to himself while his house is on fire and the department's spraying it down.
And Mrs. David Sheriff is like...
Judy Dutton. Judy Dutton, if you're nasty.
Mrs. Sheriff Dutton, Judy. Uh-huh.
Judy.
Runs. She's like, "What did you do?
What did you do?"
And then she has her awesome flip out. Yes. She's like, "Oh God, David! Like,
David?"
She can't, like, the news gets to her.
It knocks her literally on her knees. Like, she...
She flips out. I mean, yes. In the moment, it is traumatic. You're like, "Oh, that house burning right there is my friend and patient that I just saw this afternoon. Oh, God, David!"
It's a town of 1,200 people. If you're the doctor in the town, you know everyone. You've developed relationships. She probably birthed that kid or something. You know, it's just like, there she is watching that house ablaze, and he's over here like, singing songs. The fireman said, "I found him out there mowing the lawn."
Yeah, as
that. So, he's crazy. But...
Creepy, crazy, creepy.
Here, okay. Oh, yeah. Where am I? I'm looking at my notes, and we just kept saying crazy, creepy. It threw me off. Okay. So, David gets a call from the sheriff's office. He immediately has to take the guy in. Because it's obvious that he lit the house on fire. Yeah. So he takes them to jail, and he gets a call when he's at the jail that these hunters that were in the marsh, because it's the town called Ogden Marsh. They were out there. Maybe they were hunting and they shouldn't have been, but alas, they found a dead body in the marsh, so they call it in, and he goes out there, takes Deputy Baby Blue Eyes, and they find the body. Uh-huh. He's in a pilot's outfit. They know they're going to be looking for a plane. And he reminds the hunters, like, y'all don't need to be hunting. I bring the hunters up because they actually have a fun role to play in
They come back up later. Someone has to do something.
Yeah. And so he's like, "Guys, y'all can't be hunting until fall." Anyways, he goes and gets in a little boat through the marsh, and he and the deputy find
the airplane.
It's underwater,
so that means it's crashed, because if an airplane is underwater, not in the air, that means it crashed.
Are you sure? Because, like, what if it was some of that, like, Luke Skywalker shit where...
If it's set in the future, then mm-hmm. there's a possibility it did not crash. So it's just hanging out.
So if it's a spacecraft, not an aircraft? Yes. Okay.
It's like space and air.
Rules.
Airspace.
I didn't know those rules.
You know, it's hard to keep up.
So... Here's something I like about the crazies is the sheriff isn't a fucking idiot. So he and the deputy are actually really smart. And they immediately kind of put together, like, oh, here is where Roy's house was. And here is where Bill's house was. Here's where the pilot crashed. There's got to be something in the crash. It's contaminated the water. Let's go to the mayor. And the mayor isn't too inclined to just shut the water off. He's not just like... Oh, yeah. All the crops out here in Iowa, they definitely don't need to be watered at all. It's cool. Just shut it off. We'll be fine. No, he says, absolutely not. You're not shutting off the water supply. What do you think happens in the next day?
Everyone's gonna be crazy.
Whole goddamn town is gonna be...
Everyone's gonna be crazy.
Poisoned. And here we go. Now we're in to the story.
We get into the thick of it.
David gets back into town from speaking to the mayor, and there's no cell service. They can't get phone service. They can't get internet. The guy, the bill guy that they put in the little jail cell that they have is just going
fucking insane. And he looks insane, too. His face is all deteriorating, and it's, like, changing colors. It's all, like, bruised and blackened. He's nasty.
He's bloodied up because he's, like, been pounding
his
face.
The virus is taking hold.
Trying to bust out.
Trying to... It's coming out.
The town's kind of getting shut off, it would seem, from the outside, and they can't get a call out to maybe inquire furthermore or to even see, because he's like, man, we're supposed to have this guy picked up. He is insane. We get a cameo shot when...
And not cameo like you pay a B or C list celebrity to give you a shout out.
No.
Not that kind of cameo.
No, we just get a cameo from a woman who played Kathy in the 1973
George Romero, which we haven't even brought up. This is a remake of a Romero film from the
70s. Oh, I think we mentioned it
at the beginning.
Okay. But if we haven't, then yeah, it's a Romero remake from 1973.
And that version is really fun, too. It's more of like a procedural. Like, it's more... you get a lot of, like, the government perspective in that film and stuff compared to this one where it's just straightforward, like, the family drama.
Yeah, it's just a point of view of, like, just the town people in this one. And it's fun, but I like that it's different perspectives. Yeah. So we get a cameo from one of the actresses. She's in this one. She plays a lady who's kind of getting crazed, and she's on a bicycle.
With pigtails. She's, like, a 50-year-old, 60-year-old with long pigtails.
Obviously acting like a... 10-year-old.
She's starting to go crazy. Yeah. She's got the virus.
But nobody else is in... There's nobody walking the streets. Nobody dawdling around. But David goes to the funeral home. He wants to talk to the... I mean, in a small town, the mortician is the medical examiner. You know, everything is just going to that one place. So he's like, I gotta go to the funeral home and see the medical examiner / every other job that has to deal with dead people guy.
He does their makeup.
That's just this one dude. He's covering everything. But also the pastor, because he walks in and he's like calling names, and he can't find either the pastor who's in for the funeral home or the medical examiner. And then he walks into one of the more clinical rooms and he finds the pastor, and he's sewn up. His mouth is sewn up, his eyelids.
And he was in a body bag too, right? He opens that body bag and he's all bloody.
Yeah, he...
And his eyes and lips are all sewn. Yeah.
Been tortured.
And so David immediately tries to get like a scalpel or something to cut the mouth open so the guy can talk. And he's wiggling around, bleeding.
He's trying to open his eyes. Yeah, you can tell that he'd been stretching his eyelids to try to see.
Yeah,
and so he gets that... David cuts the mouth open and he says behind you, well, we found the medical examiner, and a really awesome scene.
And guys, the virus is spreading. The medical examiner now has it too, okay? This moves faster than COVID.
And David gets attacked by a bone saw, and
a fight ensues, and David's trying his hardest not to get cut by this bone saw, as you would. And they're wrestling around fighting. He gets the guy off of him for a second. He kind of twists him around the cord of it and gets him on the ground. But then here comes the bone saw. David's fallen.
The bone saw starts rotating towards him.
It's coming right for his dick.
Oh my God, could you imagine if...
I kept saying, like...
Daddy Dutton.
Put your butt up. Like, at least let it, like, cut more of an ass crack into you, right? Would you rather have, like, a bigger ass crack than, like...
Don't you get that
tick. Your balls cut off. This guy is going to hit me.
This guy, we just had somebody who tried to cut us.
Didn't know how to turn. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Guys, people are fucking stupid.
We was going to get cut like David was going to get. Balls cut. Okay, but guess who comes to save him?
But I just want to say, thank the Lord nothing happened to Timothy Oliphant's balls.
Yeah, because of Baby Blue Eyes Russell, nothing happens to Daddy Dutton. Saves his dick.
Nothing happens to Daddy Dutton's dick,
y'all. Shoots him. Yeah, he shoots the medical examiner. Russell comes in, saves him, and they go on their way. They gotta go home and find Judy.
Judy.
Yeah, David goes home to Judy and is like, okay, baby girl, next steps. What are we doing next?
He's like, hey, wifey, this is what's going on. You're my wife.
So I've got
I'm the sheriff, so we're going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's
fill
like,
you in.
And he fills her in. And then she's like, hey, honey, who's that out there? There's some, I see somebody outside.
Some guy doing something. I've been talking to Justine and Josh on the other
Scream
end.
Queens American, Scream Queens American Horror.
What?
Oh my God, guys, I'm so patriotic. I threw an American.
Robin Mitchell's been listening to our podcast. So she's like, I've been listening to Scream Queens Horror Movie Road Trip Podcast.
No, we just changed the name. It's Scream Queens American.
Can it be a Scream Queens American Girl Podcast? And we just cover American Talk Girl about, dolls?
Oh, like, my God, in the bugs. Accessories. Yeah. Let's do it.
But from a horror perspective,
guys,
like,
do you guys want to? You guys want that podcast?
Yeah, give us a shout out if you want us to then cover the American Girl dolls from, and all of that. But from a horror perspective, maybe we could.
We're on quarantine. Maybe we'll do it.
Yeah,
I know nothing about American Girl dolls.
I have like a little baby cousin. I'm sure we could call who could fill us
in. Call her. She's your 4-year-old cousin.
No, she's like 16, but she has American, you know, she had American Girl dolls.
Okay.
There's way more explaining of that than I wanted
to
do.
Anyways, let's keep going.
Okay, so she's like, oh my God, Daddy Dutton, there's somebody outside. He goes and checks, and they both get abducted by, like, the National Guard and taken to the high school. They don't get probed anally yet, at least. Guys, hold on. We're getting to the anal probing, but they just got abducted. They're taken to the high school.
Yes, high school it is. They get there and it is swarmed with military presence, if you will. Like, there's already tents set up and gates set up and everyone's being ushered into, like, this
people
one area.
People in hazmat suits.
Yeah, hazmat suits galore.
There's quarantine areas. There's people filing off. There's people getting temperatures taken.
It's a lot. Like, now they're like, if their temperature is elevated, they need to go this other direction.
Yes, and unfortunately, this happens to Russell and David and Judy. Russell and Judy get pushed off, and David goes in another direction because they both got swiped for high fever. Or not high fever, but elevated. Temps.
And like, yeah, we're all excited. And
they were just talking about how they were like, gonna start like a little family together. The three of them were gonna be a throuple, and then they got broken up.
Their throuple plans and got thrown to the side.
You know, we see David be taken to another area and pushed into a farm truck that usually should be shipping cattle and everything, but now it's shipping
and
people.
And guys, he's not a goat.
No,
he's not a cow.
I mean, he is the greatest of all time. For sure.
He's the goat.
He the goat. He rocked my boat.
The goat rocked my boat.
Uh-huh. That goat rocked my boat. That goat rocked my boat. Uh-uh. That goat rocked my boat. But he is then taken to this. Okay, what I love is in a small town, the gas station is also like the service station. It's also the diner.
Hangout.
It's like where everything happens. It's where you can buy some clothes. It's your quick stop. But he's taken there, and there are other buses. Everything looks like they're shipping him out. Maybe they're going to get him to a safe place. He runs into somebody who's like, yeah, my wife was taken, but I'm going this way. He's like, well, my wife was taken, and I'm going to go back. I'm going to
go get her. Because I'm a fucking hero.
Yeah. So I'm not going to judge you for getting on your little whatever bus to take you to Happyville, but I'm going to go get my baby girl. Because she going to have my baby girl.
She my world.
She
my
world,
baby girl.
Girl, rock my world. Guys, it's quarantine. If this episode is super long, it's because we ain't got anything else to do. Sorry.
Okay. Pissing them off.
Okay, so now we get to see what's happening with Judy. And she's been taken and, like, sedated.
She's, like, tied up now.
She's in a hospital bed that's strapped down. She wakes up and she
and here comes a crazy.
In amongst other people that are strapped down too, she finds Becca.
She's and like, it's like, Becca! Oh, no, oh my god, Becca!
Becca! Baby, Becca!
Yo, girl!
And then, uh-oh, here comes a crazy principal
with a pitchfork.
With a pitchfork.
There's that principal. He paid for that guy's cocoa or cappuccino.
Yeah, the sheriff, yeah.
The sheriff.
Trying to get out of tickets, damn I'm it. Sure.
Now he's trying to kill people.
He's trying to kill
people. First he's trying to get out to... That's how it escalates. First you're a criminal trying to get out of tickets. And then next, you're killing people with pitchforks.
Strapped down. Helplessly.
It goes yeah. that quick.
And some of the people that are in... Because she's in an area that has just, like, tons of other people that are strapped down. And they're all going crazy. They're all like, hee 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 ha ha. But not her, because she doesn't have it.
But she's going to get it. She's keeps getting exposed. She keeps getting exposed to all these people.
Yeah, they're not... I'm going to tell you right now, they weren't 6 feet away.
Her immune system must be great.
No, it's off the charge. She's Mama Bear Warrior for her baby. She gonna make it. And yeah, so here comes the principal and he starts
stabbing people.
It's a good suspense building scene. You know, it's like, when's it gonna come for them? And they're distracting him screaming so that he doesn't go for one or the other.
And the prongs on that pitchfork are like, must be extra long, because not only does it go through a body, then goes through the bed, and then you get the shot where, like, a big chunk of the pitchfork stabs through. So you're like, damn, that is one hella huge pitchfork.
That's a thick pitch. That's
thick, long.
Thick?
Thick and long.
Thick, girthy?
Thick. It wasn't quite girthy. It was just thick and long.
Thick and long.
Yeah.
Spindly?
Yeah. There was maybe a spindle.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, God. So... but who saves them? David saves his baby girl. He's a baby girl
he
saver.
He shoots him. He shoots that principal. He's like, oh, well, I guess you're out of that parking ticket now, bitch, because you're dead.
He shoots him. He found Russell. They both, like, met up at the sheriff's station. He was like, oh, shit, here you are, Deputy Russell. And they have this, like, moment where they're like, what does the deputy do? He does whatever the sheriff tells him to do. They have this, like, little romance, the two of them.
They definitely got a good bromance.
And they trust each other. So, other than just kind of being like, hey, Russell, I saw that you got your temp swiped, but let's not talk about it right now. Oh, I'm glad you escaped. Yes, you'll go back to help me go get my wife. No questions are really
being asked. No, he's like... We help each other.
Yeah. Because
we're friends.
We're friends. So they break into that high school. And also, as like the breaking into the high school for them is happening, there's a breach that happens in the fencing. And the crazies
bust out.
And so the soldiers start leaving. They're just like, fuck it. Let's just leave. They're all going to go crazy. Let's just start shooting them. Like, there's no sense in really caring. Like, at this point, because they're also being told, like, you know, if you take your mask off and stuff,
you're gonna get it too.
And stuff. So the soldiers that are there caring for the people in the hazmat suits are also just really fearful of the townspeople and think, like, oh my gosh, you're gonna end up going crazy and hurt me. So they just shoot at random. And so we've got...
And that's not a good way to handle things.
No, it's really not. It's for this movie, it seems to be the theme. Yep. Shoot now and ask later.
But yeah.
Okay, so now we have Judy, Becca, Russell, and David escaping the high school on foot, and they're leaving. They've decided to make a plan to cut through some farmland that they know the owners of. And then they'll cut through. They want to get to their house, David's house. So they've got basically little goals as, like, let's get to your house, and then we got to get to the gas station. And they don't make it very far because Becca finds her boyfriend's
farm. She's like, oh, my God, that's my boyfriend. That's Scotty's house. We got to go. And then they run up on Scotty, and Scotty is scared. He has his own shotgun, and he has it pointed on Becca and...
Russell.
Russell. I was about to say blue eye goatee.
Deputy Russell.
Blue Eye Goatee Deputy.
Baby Blue Eyes. You can call him that too. Yes. Handlebar. Tug, tug, rub a dub. And yeah, they kind of have this like show off of like, oh, who's going to lower their gun first? But then David comes up and he's like, no, now I have a gun. So it's like a three way.
Lower it, you dipshit.
It's not dick three way. So
they're all hiding out in the barn for a few minutes. And then the SWAT team, the military shows up and they swarm the house. And Scotty can't handle it. They're going after his mama. Yeah. They got his mama.
They got his mama, and his mama got a fever.
And they...
Because they swiped her.
And she's elevated.
And they swipe... I don't know what direction they swipe, but I think either way, if they swipe left or right, if it says you have a fever, they just...
I thought you always swipe front to back.
No, you wipe front to back. I'm doing some like hand direction for...
But you swipe left.
Yeah, you swipe left to right. So with the little temperature, the thing that they're gauging, it's like, I don't care. They might like you. They might want to swipe right for you, but they're going to have to shoot you
dead.
We're going
to have to shoot you.
Yeah.
And they shoot her.
They shoot her. And they shoot him.
Because Scotty runs out.
Oh, he gets like his brain blown.
He's like, Mama!
It's literally Mama! But, The four that stay in the little, like, shed that they're hiding out in while boyfriend runs amok, they get one of the soldiers. They just briefly abduct him. It's just, like, slight abduction.
It's a brief abduct.
They just want to know, like, what's going on. The soldier is kind of willing to tell them because he's like, man, I didn't sign up to shoot civilians, and, like, now that's all we're doing. We came here because there was a spill that happened, and it's an airborne thing. We were told we can't keep you gotta keep your masks on. And so the doctor's hearing all this and is like, shit, it's gone airborne. What are we gonna do, David?
He's like, we all got a breath.
Yeah, the soldier doesn't
reveal
them.
We all gotta breathe. We all gotta breath.
Yeah, we all gotta breathe. We all gotta breath. The soldier doesn't reveal him. He just, like, lets them go, and they run off, because he's, like, like you said, he doesn't want to shoot people. I don't think he's got signed up for that.
Yeah, he has a conscience.
But the four of them make it to David and Judy's, and they start packing up, and Judy just happens to want to have a moment in the room that would have been her baby's room.
Yeah, she's like, they're my baby. My baby might not ever know this room.
She holds her tummy, as mommies often do when they got babies in there.
Especially in a movie or, like, in a picture.
Yeah.
When people are paying attention, they're like, oh, yeah, my baby bumped.
Baby bump.
Don't forget that I'm pregnant.
I'm bumpy.
Look at me.
I got a bump bump.
You see my pump?
I got a little bump bump, hump hump bump bump.
Bump bump hump hump.
Because if I was a camel, it would be on my back, but
I'm a woman.
Woman, so it's going to be on my front. So she walks in, and we see the camera just adjust slightly to the right, and we see...
Oh, my God, if you know that camera's adjusted,
it's a little panning over to the right, we get to see...
We're gonna see something.
See that lady from the beginning whose husband got shot, Roy's wife. She's standing there, and she wanna give it to this lady.
Yep.
Maybe she's, they're holding, like, a grudge while they're crazy.
She's pissed. She's like, I'm gonna tie you up.
Yep.
By the time David gets in there, she's tied up. Things have gone from bad to worse.
There's a huge scuffle. Knife fight.
Oh, my God. This is gross. David gets his hand stabbed, and he gets it stabbed to the ground.
Stuck through.
And he's stuck. He's now helpless because his hand is stabbed down to the ground.
Inch it up and down, up and down.
And he's got a little boy on his back.
He's not that little. This guy's like a grown teenager.
He's got grown man boy on his back.
Yeah, because it's not just the mama or the... It's not just Roy's wife. Roy's wife and Roy's son are crazy, yeah, and so they're hanging out together.
And Roy's wife is like, oh, this is the gun you killed Roy with.
I'm gonna shoot.
I'm gonna shoot your wife in the head.
And she does, like, one shot just to the ground. She's like, oh, it's so powerful. But that, what she doesn't know is that there's Russell and Becca downstairs, so it alerts them to trouble. And so David gets his hand pulled out, stabs it with the knife stuck to it.
You see him, like, the knife is just going, like, up his hand as he's trying to pull it up off the ground. But it's still in his hand. Yeah. And he stabs the lady in the neck with it.
And she's all like, glug, 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 glug.
It's so nasty.
Blood in my throat.
Does he pull the knife out himself or does he have someone do it? I forgot.
He pulls it out, yeah. I think. And
it's so nasty.
Or no, he, yeah, with his hand. And then he sees that, we see the son behind him about to shoot him. But then the son gets shot through the window. Russell saves his life again.
Russell keeps saving the day. It must be that mustache, goatee,
blue eye combination. Yeah, just all that. He's a lifesaver. He's saving people's lives. That's what he does. And so they escape again. They get into the sheriff's car. They start heading out. All of a sudden, this helicopter is following them. So they take refuge in this car wash. But then the car wash turns on.
Damn.
And there's more crazies coming after them. And they're
stuck in the car wash. Like, their car, like, the tire gets stuck on the little mechanism that kind of moves you along as your car is supposed to be, like, in neutral in the car wash, you know?
Yeah,
and they can't get out.
They can't get out.
They're going along, like, the little track as it's pushing them forward. You see, at one point, like, hands are coming in and grabbing them, and one of them gets Becca right as they finally kind of get the car unlocked out of the little slot.
Slot.
The mechanism that I was just telling you about. And so as they're, like, speeding off... As they're speeding off, Becca gets choked.
Becca gets hung choked.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because she's
like Becca.
Yeah, she's a high schooler. So it's like,
yeah, oh. She's a high school kid. She's like,
scared. The last moments of her life were...
so shitty. So I don't want to go out like Becca.
Terrible.
Don't hang me in a car wash, please.
Don't you hang me. And it's all just so intense. They're in that car wash. She's screaming her head off. It's bad. And then to think that, like, here they are. They were about to inch off. They were going to get out. And she just
But at this point, they've all jumped out of the car. And they run back to see if they can help Becca.
Or at least cut her down.
Yeah, because it happened so fast. Like, maybe she's not dead yet.
Yeah, maybe her neck didn't snap.
But girl dead.
They cut her down.
But as they're handling her, a helicopter comes by and blows up their car.
Yeah, good thing they got out. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, like Becca died to save them.
Yep. You know? Everybody's saving. Saving coupons, I guess. Saving this, saving that. And so, here we are, back on foot.
Here I
got
go
three,
again on my
three
own.
Walkers just... trying to make it to another vehicle so that they can get to... They want to get to the gas station, the big gas station, diner, convenience place.
The hangout
place.
Spot we told you about earlier.
They want to get there because they think that there's maybe going to be help there. But along the way, they come up to a car that they can't get to start, but it's also like one of the military cars, and they're looking all through it. They find some... weapons, but they also find one of those like the tire spikes.
Yes.
And there's a vehicle coming up and David's like, I want to talk to him.
It looks like a government official.
Yeah,
it's all black, blackout windows.
Rotating lights are happening and he's like, no, I want to talk to him. But Russell, guys, is doing that real slow creep into crazy.
He's getting aggressive at a little point. Like, even earlier when he killed Roy's son, he just kept shooting him in the head.
Yeah, he did. He kept double tapping him. Like, oh, I'm gonna just start...
And that's when they first noticed anything.
Yeah. Him extra killing Roy's wife and... Yeah, man.
He's a little aggressive. He's
low creep. And so Russell... throws the tire spikes out into the road. The vehicle jackknives, flips over. The guy's crawling out. Russell runs up, nearly shoots him, and David intervenes and is like, no, I want to talk to him. They get more information. We got to have more information, you know. He's got to give us a little bit more exposition.
And they don't really get much more. They get, like, sorry, it's either this town or the whole world.
Yeah, it's called Trixie. It's a biological weapon. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to do what it does. So we had to kind of, like, contain it.
Trying to quarantine, contain you guys.
The doctor asks about the incubation period. He's like, 48 hours. And they're like, okay, well, we must be fine, except for Russell.
Russell's starting to act prey.
Yeah.
And what does Russell do next? In the next 5 seconds, he shoots the man dead.
Got enough information out of him, apparently, for Russell. He was like, you know what? I'm just done with this.
And this pisses
off. We gotta get going.
Daddy Dutton.
Yeah, they... I guess their relationship goes a little sour.
And this is where things get even worse, and Russell all of a sudden tries to take over. He mutinizes. It's a mutiny.
Yeah.
He tries to... pulls his gun on him.
It doesn't remember how it was the deputy does what the sheriff does. Not anymore. Not for Russell.
That's not his mindset.
Baby no. Blue Eyes is angry. Angry Blue Eyes.
And he kind of calms him down. He talks him down a little bit for a second, right?
Enough to punch him. David calms him down enough to, like, he acts like he wants to have a conversation with him, but he punches him in the face so that he can get the gun back. This is when Russell realizes, I am sick.
Yeah.
Can I walk with you guys for just a little bit longer?
It's kind of sad. He's like, I know I'm going to die. Can I just walk with you guys a little longer?
But it's good because he's going to make an act of sacrifice so that David and Judy can, he's going to create a little diversion so that they can get away.
They come across a roadblock. Mm-hmm. And exactly what Miss Justine, our final girl, just said. He creates a diversion. He's like, all right, you guys go that way. I'll present myself.
Yeah. for the slaughter.
For the slaughter.
Because the gas station is, it's very, very close. He's like, you guys, I know if I do this, you'll get away. And so he does sacrifice of the military, makes no qualms. They shoot him. But they do get to the truck stop / everything you can think of, service station, gas station.
They're happy for a moment. They're like, okay, we got here, but then again.
But also he's like, David says, oh, this was a happening place and now it's deserted. Great. Like, let's stock up on water. Let's find a vehicle. Let's get out of here. But something's gotta happen. So the hunters show up.
Yep, those hunter guys.
The hunters who were told that they couldn't hunt. And they've been throughout the movie going around the town and hunting people and piling them up and looting. And so they were definitely pissed whenever Sheriff Dutton said no hunting until fall. They were like, we're about to hunt all day long and we get to hunt people. Real people. So they have to, it's their last big, like, escape. They've got to get past all the different, there's three hunters.
Yeah.
They gotta maneuver.
And they're kind of separated at this moment. She's in the kitchen, he's out in the garage.
Because it's like there's a diner, so there's a kitchen and a diner.
She's hiding behind counters, running through, getting the meat locker, trying to get to her husband. She's fighting off people. He starts getting attacked in the garage.
And he's found this big semi-truck that they can take. Mm-hmm.
And it's on kind of like it was getting its oil changed. So there's like an area underneath the truck. And he's getting pushed around in there. They're fighting.
He takes the oil that had just been discarded from that truck and pours it on one of the crazy hunter guys and lights him on fire. It's great.
Yeah, it's cool.
They get rid of the other guys, but they do happen upon those same farm trucks that the sheriff had been in earlier when they were first taken by the National Guard and stuff. And there's just dead bodies in there with bullet casings all around and incinerated bodies. They really realized that the military, there wasn't any escaping. It was contain all the people, kill them off, we're done. So now they really feel like, oh my God, they're going to try to find us. What are we going to do? They get in that semi-truck.
They try to get out of town.
And they try to get out. The semi-truck has like a radio and they hear this countdown start to happen.
They're about to nuke the fucking town.
The whole town is about to be a mushroom cloud. And we get our last little scene of this big mushroom cloud happening. The semi-truck gets kind of taken up in the burst.
They try to outrun it, but you're like, come on, guys. You're not going to outrun an atomic bomb.
No, this big, huge, bright cloud. You can tell it's hot. It's all orange.
There's a lot of heat in that cloud.
The semi flips. It rolls. It goes into a ravine. They survive. They pull their little backpack that they got from the Quick Mart.
It's like, you might have survived now, but there's a thing called nuclear fallout.
what the hell's gonna happen?
You're getting burned. You're gonna be crazy looking.
Look back.
That baby that's in your belly.
It's gonna
have extra feet.
50 shades of fucked up.
Yes.
The town is obliterated. It's leveled. There's this big mushroom cloud above it, and that's all that there is of it. And they look ahead, and there's they can the see city. Cedar Rapids, so they head that direction.
We get an
aerial shot that kind of then is a military
radar
shot.
Stuff again.
We
like
get
it. Beginning.
It's very pixelated as it starts to go out, kind of like
it's
into
like
2010
space. GPS.
Satellite image.
Radio images.
Yeah. We see them going to Cedar Rapids. It tells us what the population is, and it's like, you know, we're gonna. Just this little message of like trying to get to those two people, like control,
get them, or we're gonna have to
blow
up Cedar Rapids.
Credits start to roll, and then we get this newsreel of this news reporter, and he's like, Ogden Marsh, if you look over, you can see this big cloud. It apparently, you know, big explosion happened, and the town's in disarray, and everything has been blocked off, so please don't go there. So obviously the media trying to downplay what's happened. But, the news station gets overtaken by crazy, so we at least maybe know that they made it to Cedar Rapids, even though maybe they were contaminated the whole time.
The virus is spreading, y'all.
Spread.
All right, well, we're almost to the grocery store.
Yes, we are. We're very close. I mean, we did a huge out-of-the-way turn around. We've been just going through the country, but now we are approaching our pickup. And get our essentials, gonna make some baked goods. We'll,
gotta get our masks on.
Yep, put our masks on and do our duty for America, for the world.
You said duty.
I need to take a duty. Okay, guys, see you in just a second.
We're back! Oh my god, we just had the time of our lives.
Oh my god, that's probably like the best of all of the road trips that we've ever done. Stay home, everybody. I think, what, next month we're just gonna get our oil changed?
That'll be
the episode?
It's gonna be amazing. What a staycation. Just kidding, we picked up our groceries from the grocery store.
Had the smallest trip ever.
It was so exciting.
Yeah.
Whoever thought it would come to this, guys, that we would have to do an episode about going to the grocery store because the world is shut down.
But we got a little sugar, a little butter, a little flour to make us some cake.
Some toilet paper and, you know, some of the essentials.
Some eggs and, some Lean Cuisine healthy choice meals.
It was nice. We just pulled up, told them what little parking spot we were in, number 7. They came right on out.
They are so helpful. Thank you so much to all the essential workers out there.
They're getting us through this crazy time.
We love you. Appreciate you. Thank you for putting your lives on the line.
And we see you. We appreciate you.
Let's talk about something else we've seen.
The crazies.
A few times.
What?
The crazies.
2010's the crazy.
2010's.
Breck Eisner's the crazies.
Let's dip it, dive it, do it. Let's dip, baby, right back into the movie. Here we go. Fave scenes, throw to Josh.
No, I went first last time. I think you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think you did go. Okay. My fave scene, it's a pretty good movie. So, my fave scene, I'm going to go with, I'm still like in my head right now, like, which one are you actually going to say? Okay, I know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say the one in the baby room. I love it.
So
I'm going there. Y'all wanted to say it. I said it first. There you go. Okay.
You get some high tension in that.
Very high tension.
You get some good gore with the knife.
Yes, you get all of those things. A lot of suspense, the buildup. You've got kind of a full circle thing that happens. Roy's wife and son coming back to bite the sheriff in the booty. A full circle jerk. We get kind of that big, little note about Russell, you know,
that big little
comes up after he's already shot the son and then like repeatedly shoots both the mother and the son. So we have a little nugget for him of like, hey, you're going crazy. You're going crazy, Looney Tooney Town. What's wrong?
Looney Tooney crazy
town. Let's all sit down on the couch. You tell me your problems. Yes, and it's kind of that point of no return for all of them. They realize, like, they've got to get out of town. And so, thanks, bye, see you later. Just love the knife scene. Love it going into the neck. Watching him lift his palm up off the ground and see that knife just slide. Or not even the knife, his hand slide up that knife. And I do adore in this movie especially how everything has a purpose and everything kind of comes around and there is a reason why everyone's still where they are. You know, there's not any of those characters where you're like, God, why is this person still here? Kill him off. Everybody has.
It's very purposeful.
Okay, fave scene. There you go.
That's yours.
Yep.
Mine.
Throwing it to you.
Mine is going to be the scene where they are strapped in the schoolroom or in the schoolhouse and the guys come around with the pitchforks.
Oh, that's
stabbing body.
Another suspenseful building.
Again, yes, lots of good suspense. You get lots of gore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a situation that you can imagine would be like the most terrifying situation ever to be. Helpless and knowing someone's getting closer and closer with a deadly weapon and they're going to use it on you.
Oh my gosh.
And
it's
to
just
see it
doom.
Play, and to see it play out before you over and over before it gets to you.
Ugh.
Ugh. You'd be like, oh, well, that's what I'm going to look like. That's how it's going to feel when it happens to me.
I love it.
Like the first person would have been the lucky one.
Mm-hmm. But
the lucky ones died.
Not
first.
The lucky ones. At least she was able to reason and buy time a little bit with it.
Her husband saves her. You know, you get that, like, saves the day moment.
Pay off.
Which is always very satisfying in a movie. Even so, sometimes it can be a little cheesy, like, oh, he got there in the nick of time, but it's...
Oh, your heart rate.
Yeah, you're
skyrocket.
In a visceral moment where...
You need the release.
Yeah, you need that happy ending.
You do. You need it splashed all over your face on the screen.
But, yeah, that would be my favorite scene. I think it's just really good.
This is a movie that's chock full of really awesome scenes. It's very, I would say, it's well made. I prefer it to its predecessor.
Yeah. I mean, to me, they're both totally different. Because, like we were saying earlier, one has both perspectives. It's also kind of like a military movie as well as, like, the family. And I like the wife in the original. She's really funny. Topless a lot.
Yes, yeah, I was just about to say tits out. Yes. No, I enjoy each one
fun.
Of them, but
yeah,
I said
like
I
a
prefer
tighter,
yeah.
More exciting, straight up horror movie than mm-hmm. the original.
It gets you how you need to get you. And so, I mean, Daddy Dutton, Timothy. Mm-hmm, fine. Then I
and
got
it's,
that.
It's
Debbie.
Really grounded horror film. Like, you believe in these people. You believe they're a couple and that they love each other and that there's stakes involved. And
yeah.
You don't want to see anything happen.
Well.
They're trying to get out alive with their baby. And they don't want anything bad to happen to their town. They don't want anything to happen to Becca or Russell. But things do happen to them. And they feel
in Ogdenmarsh, they happen. They happen here.
Here in Ogdenmarsh, things happen.
Things happen.
Beyond our control. But, yeah. I believe in them.
Yep, so I guess
my knife rating,
I'm going to go 4 or 5.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going there. I really appreciate this movie. And for it being in the, you know, newer era of horror, 2010s, when it could have just been, like, super dark and, like, very torturesque, and even though there are, it's gory, it's just not like an overload. I would say it's just that right amount, and it gets you in the gut, and I really appreciate Timothy Olyphant on that screen. I mean, he's all a fine, hella fine. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's well made. The Eisner Walt Disney CEO,
former heir.
Oh man,
Eisner's not CEO there.
I will say he made a good movie.
Yeah, he did. He made a really solid
to shit on
toy.
About nepotism, but
and
it's
I believe
like,
it's like a PG-13 horror movie, isn't it? Too, or is it R?
No,
shit, we should know this.
Yeah,
maybe
dang,
it is R. But
I'll look it up as we're talking, but yeah, it's well crafted, and I think that he needs more. Where is he? Yeah. See more from my little friend Brent.
He made something, I think, like in 2015. It's like vampires. R. What's the vampire movie he did like in 2015?
The vampire movie that he did in 2015 is The Last Witch Hunter.
The Last Witch Hunter, yeah. Not vampires. Yeah, I knew he did something else in the genre before, but I haven't seen it. But I'm going to give it a solid 3.5. And that's not a low score for me. It feels low because you gave it a nice score.
I got it getting in the fours.
And I like it a lot, but I'm going 3.5. And I don't need to explain myself, no.
All right,
and I agree
right
with all
ahead.
The stuff you say. I enjoy it quite a bit. I'm going 3.5. I think that's a nice review for it.
Okay, great. Nice. There you go. You
nice got that rating.
3.5 / 4 rating for
yeah,
the,
we're both
crazies.
Fans of the crazies.
I enjoy
yeah.
it. Rhoda Mitchell's great in it. I feel like everybody just really holds their own, sells it. I'm buying it.
She's got it.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to avoid Ogden Marsh for
sure. And everybody, it's streamable on Amazon right now for free. It's not one of the, like, rent or buy. You can watch it now.
Watch it for free. And Corn, just stay
both the crazies
safe and well
are,
in that
yeah. Watch
yeah.
that one and appreciate that our virus isn't as fucked up as the one in the Crazies movie. It's fucked up, but not,
yeah.
you know.
We don't, like, to say we don't know what we're doing next month, we have ideas, and
just everything's
in the air.
Kind of up in the air right now. We had one major thing we were going to do. We can probably talk about it. We've already, we would like to do a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory episode.
Yes.
Or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, actually, the original Gene Wilder version. And we were going to go tour a chocolate factory down in southern Oklahoma, but we don't know if they will be reopening by like mid-May-ish when we need to record. So if not, we have a few other ideas up our sleeve. We will get it figured out, but nothing is written in stone right now, other than we will have an episode for you. We just don't know what yet.
And May will not be the Frightmare,
yeah,
Texas
Frightmare
episode, because they have postponed until September. So also just moving stuff around, we definitely will be covering that. We'll have that episode. It's
yeah,
just going to be...
I kind of just misspoke. Originally, this episode should have been the
Charlie
Talk Factory. And
yeah.
then we were going to do Frightmare in May, but Frightmare canceled. So we kind of played with things. We're like, well, we'll do Willy Wonka in... May, but now we don't even know if May it will be.
It's
yeah.
all right. It's just, like you said, it's up in the air.
It's a new world, guys. Yeah. We hope you're staying safe and healthy and happy and, you know, make the most of it. Get your relaxing in, your relaxing time in. Get those shows you've been wanting to watch watched. Listen to all your favorite podcasts. Make the food and recipes you've been wanting to make. Just trying to make the most of it.
Check on your
Sleep
loved ones,
all you
your
want.
Elderly family members. Get them groceries. Help. Not
help
hurt.
Each other. Love each other.
Situation.
We'll be back for another episode. Check us out, though, in the meantime. We know you all have a lot of time, so why don't you
yeah.
go write us a review on wherever you listen to us, whatever
yeah,
format.
Yeah, write us a review. Listen to some past episodes you had.
And if you bring that review to our attention, we'll give you a shout-out in the next episode. And who knows, you know, we like to sometimes do special things for people who are good to us. And by special, I mean sex you up.
Yeah.
We will come sex
that's exactly
you up.
What he was trying to spell out.
yeah,
so,
we're on Instagram, Facebook.
Instagram, yeah. Twitter. Instagram, Facebook, ScreamQueensPodcast.com. Give us, you got lots of time on your hands, so give us all the listens, all the likes, all the hearts, all the loves.
It helps us out.
We love you guys. We want to keep doing what we do. Right now, we ain't got nothing else to do. So.
But nowhere to go.
Nowhere
it's
to go.
The irony of it.
Yes.
We have all the time in the world to do nothing.
To do nothing but to just take care of each other
yeah.
and
just
ourselves.
Think of it that way. Staying inside and doing nothing and watching TV, you're helping save the
being
world.
Being a hero. There so. We go. Let's keep being heroes. We love you guys.
Bye.
Stay COVID-free.